This is the Bullpen.
Your home for Utah State Aggie sports and our other random thoughts.
You can find us on Twitter at USU Bullpen. You can find me, Ethan Chadwick, at Ethan Chadwick 15.
And you can find me, Evan Hall, at Evan Hall 62.
Now it's time for the action. Welcome into the Bullpen. It's been a couple of weeks, but we are back, and well, as bad as ever. I'd say better than ever, but I don't know how true that is. But anyway, there's a lot has been going on, including we had the NBA All-Star game was last week, and that is just pretty lame. I mean, the All-Star game is pretty sad in my mind. I don't know, what do you think about the All-Star game?
Defensively, yes. Which I think is true for probably every All-Star game.
Well,
or at least most All-Star games in sports.
Not as bad as that, though. The NBA is the worst when it comes to playing defense in All-Star games. Which, I mean, the point is, like, you don't want anyone to get injured for something that doesn't mean anything. And I get that, but it's also extremely lame when there's no defense and people are just laying on the floor instead of playing defense.
Plus some voting. Some people hated the voting procedure for it, too.
Well, I mean,
a bunch of people,
they're working towards a better system.
Yeah, some people got voted in that, or some people got left out that people thought should have been put into it.
Yeah, I mean, you'll never get everyone in that you want. But the biggest thing, though, that I'm glad that they've done is not been just solely fan voting. Because before, it was that, and Yao Ming would always have the most votes because he'd get everyone from China would vote for him. Same with Kobe Bryant and like Tracy McGrady because he was on the Rockets with Yao Ming. I mean, you'd have these players who at times they were injured and didn't play anything at all that season, but they would still be voted to be the All-Star starters, which makes no sense.
Yeah, I think probably fan voting made a lot more sense when it was just like paper ballots at the games. At least made more sense than the online voting for a lot of people.
But even at that, I think it's dumb to do it that way because you're not, at that point, it isn't about how good you are on the court. It's about how popular you are with fans.
That's true.
And so, I mean, yeah, a lot of times the guys that are really good are going to be the most popular with fans. But at times, you'll get people voted in that, frankly, don't deserve it. Like Kobe Bryant a couple years ago when he played like 3 or 4 games and then got injured and was injured for most of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And he still got voted in to be as the starter. And yeah, Kobe Bryant was a great player and an all-time great, but he did not deserve to be an all-star that year. He'd only played a handful of games. And then you also had Tracy McGrady in the same situation where he was injured and he still was voted to be a starter because by virtue of being on the same team as Yao Ming, who was everybody in China's favorite player, and so they would vote for him. And there'd be years when he wasn't necessarily the best or even like he'd missed time with injuries and they would still vote him in. And it was just stupid. So they fixed that a little bit. But at the same time, you still have the problem of no defense whatsoever. And it's just stupid. And on top of that, I mean, again, it is better. But at the same time, the voting system as it is, like how do you not have Russell Westbrook in the starting lineup? Because yeah, Steph Curry's a great player, but Russell Westbrook is having an insane year. He's averaging a triple double to this point, and there's a decent chance he's gonna finish the year averaging a triple double. And you don't think that is better than Steph Curry, who's like the third highest scorer on his team. He doesn't lead his team in any major category anyway. And then you have discrepancies where you've got the Warriors have 4 All-Stars and the Spurs have 1, when the Spurs are the second best team in the country and they only get 1 All-Star despite the fact that the Warriors get 4. That it just, there's a lot that is really messed up about it, and I don't know. I'm not a huge fan about it. But the reason why I brought it up is because the All-Star game, it comes right before the trade deadline. And while they were at All-Star Weekend in New Orleans, which they moved it to there from Charlotte for ridiculous political reasons, But anyway, they had moved it. But DeMarcus Cousins, who was a member of the Sacramento Kings, he was there. He got voted in. He's a really good player, and he deserved to be there at All-Star Weekend. He didn't return back to Sacramento because they traded him to the Pelicans while they were there. And so that's kind of some big news. That was
literally
the big trade.
Considering.
Maybe. I mean, the thing about it is I don't think they wanted to pay him. Yeah. And so they were going to, you know, not pay him and not have him around anyway. So apparently they're really high on Buddy Hield. And they got him in that trade. So
year 25 of their rebuilding effort.
Pretty much. But no, I don't think it was as bad of a trade as, you know, some people will think. I mean, your Bulls did a much worse trade with the Thunder, I think.
Yeah, considering the best three-point, or at least the three-point percentage-wise, the best shooter gets traded when in a year that the rest of the team is struggling with three-pointers.
Well, that, and you trade away the heart and soul of your team as well in Taj Gibson. I mean, so that one, that didn't make any sense to me. The guys they traded for are okay, but I don't think they were an upgrade by any stretch of the imagination. And if anything, I think they were a downgrade. So, I don't know. You can look at it different ways. I don't know all the reasonings for it and stuff. I don't think the Sacramento Kings deal was a great trade for the Kings as far as the value. But at the same time, I also don't think it's as bad as a lot of people do. I still don't understand the Chicago Bulls one.
Yeah. Because a lot of their problem is, at least early on, it's been from their bench not having anybody to come off and support their starting five. And even then, like, shooting is kind of atrocious. So, yeah. I don't think they're going to get over 500, to be honest, this year. So.
Yeah, they might not. I don't know. They're in the Eastern Conference. They can make a run and possibly end up with one, but I don't expect them to do much in the way of, say, the playoffs. No. Just because, I mean, especially now, they don't have an inside presence, really, do they? I mean, like, who do they have as a post presence?
Nobody that I can name off the top of my head, so that's probably not a good sign at all.
Probably not. I mean, I think that's safe to say. Probably not a good sign if you can't even figure them out. But hey, they just beat the Celtics, who are pretty good.
Yeah.
Looking it up now, let's see who they got. I guess you guys have Robin Lopez. He's solid in the middle. Yeah, they used to have Taj Gibson, but he's gone now. but then they got some Portis dude.
Yeah, I didn't recognize anybody from that trade. I mean, granted, I'm not the biggest basketball fan in the world, but still.
I mean,
nothing really stood out.
Sucks to suck, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'm still.
I don't know.
Over the Wizards.
I don't know. No, I just. I'm actually kind of surprised. I was expecting somehow for the Cavs to trade for Dwayne Wade. I really thought that might happen.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I predicted it when he signed with the Bulls. I was like, the season's not going as well as they want, I wouldn't be surprised if they sent Dwayne Wade to Cleveland, because Cleveland would trade for him. LeBron knows how good Dwayne Wade can be to help him. And you know, it was kind of an experiment of sorts, where you have, you know, these guys kind of going home, I guess. You had the thing with Dwight Howard going to Atlanta. You have Dwayne Wade going to Chicago, where he's from. And I feel like they're experiments, and I don't really think it's working out as well as they may have wanted in Chicago. But at the same time, in the Eastern Conference, I mean, there's still a shot that they can make a run, and that's the funny thing about it. But yeah, so it's fun stuff, I guess. But we want to turn to other news. The USC men's basketball team has their last home game of the year tomorrow. We're recording this on Friday, the 24th.
Yeah,
the 24th. The final game is tomorrow night, the 25th, against Air Force. Senior night for Jalen Moore. And also Shane Rector. And also Connor Gardner, who he hasn't played much. He got in a couple games early in the season when we were up by a bunch. But he hasn't played much, and I think this is the only year that he's actually dressed. But he's been like a team manager or something for the last 4 years. So no one probably knows who he is. They'll know the other two. But anyway, we got senior night for three seniors, two that have huge, big contributions to the team. Specifically Jalen Moore. I mean, he's up in the, I think, the top 10 now of scorers all time at USU. And then Shane Rector, who has started for stretches. He started at the beginning of the year and also for like the second half of last year. And like, he does a solid job at times. Honestly, though, I don't think that we're really losing a lot. I think if anything, it's just going to – our team is going to be better next year. I mean, I'll just put it that way. I mean, obviously, our young guys – our two freshmen, our best two players are our freshmen. And yeah, Jalen Moore, he has been a great scorer, a great player here at USU. But this is something I was talking to you about before we started recording, was he's got to be the most unimpressive, like, good player that I can think of. He does a lot, but he's not, I mean, he's not flashy, which, I mean, doesn't always,
not
being
always
flashy isn't always
thing.
A good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Shane Rector, at times he tries to be flashy and it ends up costing us, you know, turnovers. But, you know, Jalen Moore, like, he'll disappear from, like, games. And he's just, like, quietly gets you points. And he's a solid player. I don't think he's ever been the kind of player that should be your first option. I think he's, like, a solid number two option on a team. I don't think he's a number one option. And I think that he's a little bit overhyped.
I think it's the legacy and the fact that he's like the hometown kid.
Yeah,
drives,
I mean,
a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And again, he's way up on the list of all-time scoring. And I'm not saying that he hasn't been a good player. I really don't think that we're losing as much as people want to think we're going to be losing with him leaving. And he's a good player.
But considering the freshman class, it's like...
Considering what we have coming up, I think we're going to be much better in the, like, next year. We're going to have another year of experience for all these freshmen and sophomores that we have. We're only going to have two seniors next year, which will be Julian Perry and Gora Barnaba. If, I mean, those guys are still around, you know. People transfer, people get cut. I don't think that they'll necessarily be gone. I think they'll be around next year, but at the same time, those guys are just role players at best. And I, with Julian Perry, I mean, he's got this, I've always got this sense that he could be like a really good player. I just don't think he has the aggressiveness to do it. You know, he shows flashes where he's just really good, but then most of the time he's just like really passive about it. So I think that he kind of undersells himself. And then Gore tries a little bit too hard at times, and
he tries to shoot from outside, and everybody kind of groans.
Getting ready
to take a shot.
The problem though is with that is he is a good shooter. He just has a mental block that he can't get over, and so yeah, people are right to think, ah, man, I don't want him to shoot it because he really misses a lot. I don't have the stats for how he's done for the year on three pointers, but I would wager it's not very good.
Well, from sitting in the front row and just seeing a ton of games.
Yeah.
Kind of an eye test thing with that. And
yeah,
it's just kind of, it makes you a little nervous every time he does. Shoot around, he looks good. And shoot,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people look good in shoot around, but.
I mean, yeah, he's a good shooter. But, I mean, the problem is he doesn't, you know, maintain that well at all. So. Like, during games, like, there's only been a couple threes he's even made. And he also, I think he's toned down how much he shoots them as the season's gone on. So that's been good. But yeah, I mean, honestly, though, like, when you think about it, even, you know, after, losing seniors this year and next year, I don't think we're losing that much. I think very replaceable.
Well, considering how fast the younger guys have stepped it up, it doesn't. I don't think it makes anybody worried or
no,
even
I mean,
all that nostalgic really for
and the
players that are leaving.
The team finally got a road win in conference play. It's the first time this year, which is sad because there's only two games left for the season and one road game left. But I really hope that we are able to get that next game as well, because it's against the the punching bag of the Mountain West, UNLV. So hopefully we can get our second one. But
if we don't spot them a bunch of points right off the bat.
But even at that, I mean, they're a far inferior team to us. But we finally got our first road conference win against San Jose State, who's actually had a decent year. You know, it's really surprising because last year they were not good at all. I mean, it was sad to watch them last year. And they've improved a ton. They've got a decent team now, which is good for them. But yeah, we were able to get a win up there. Finally get it. Another thing that happened that was pretty historic was it was the first time in school history that we had two freshmen score over 20 points in the same game. Because Sam Merrill and Kobe both had over 20 points. I think Kobe had 24 and Sam had 23. Great game for both of them. And that's kind of what you want to see. I mean, I feel like as the season has gone on, these guys are getting more and more in the flow of things. And I think come next year, I think that they're going to be tough. Like, I mean, I can't automatically assume that we'll be, you know, a top team in the conference next year. But I kind of want to because of what we've got coming back. I mean, because you got those two, they're going to be sophomores, and they've just gotten better and better as the year has gone on and more confident. And then you have Alex D'Argentin, who's a sophomore, who's going to be a junior. Also, same with Quinn Taylor. Norby Janicek, another one. You got a lot of these guys that are, you know, young, and we're going to be a young team. We've got people coming in that are going to be big adds. We got a couple guys that are redshirting that I think are going to be big contributors next year. I'm excited. I'm excited about the future. And yeah, we'll miss Jalen Moore and what he does. And we'll miss what Shane can do for us. We won't miss some of the other stuff that Shane does for us, but rather does against us, I would say. But because he has moments when he's really good and moments when he's really bad.
Yeah.
And you know, hopefully he can just be really good these next couple games and in the tournament.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm excited about the future. We were going to lose three seniors, but only two really had an impact, and one frequently had a negative impact, and that's why he got benched this year. And then Jalen Moore, who he's a solid player, but again, like, I don't see him as like a team leader. I feel like he's more of a secondary guy, and you know, he's a good player. But he didn't take over games. He didn't, you know, take things down at the end of the game and just, like, knock down a shot. And there's only, like, one time that you can think of, and that was against Wyoming a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, it's not like we're going to be missing this vocal leader that was, like, the heart and soul of the team. I don't think that he was that. So, we're going to lose some stuff, but I think that we're going to be even better next year. And that was kind of a long rant, which I didn't even mean to get into, which we probably should have done for our main event, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, well, they'll have to deal with it.
Deal with it.
Deal with it.
Actually, I mean, I guess maybe this can just be our main event, and we'll do our fantasy fight at the end of the podcast.
Who knows?
Who knows?
We can do what we want. Yeah, so spring training finally upon us for baseball.
Dude, get over the World Series.
Never getting over the World Series. But anywho,
he's in here wearing a Cubs hat.
Bulls hat.
Yeah, I was just kidding. It's okay. A Bulls hat.
But yeah, normally I would be wearing a Cubs hat.
I don't think you've worn it since they won, except for like the week that they won. Like,
yeah.
Since then, like, you just haven't worn any Cubs stuff at all.
Yeah, because it had been like several months straight of everything Cubs.
And you like had to send them to a special place to get deep cleaned.
Yeah.
Because of all the sweat and tears that are
sweat, blood,
inside of it.
Tears.
I mean, they should just trade them all. Pack of frauds, I say.
Yep. not really. I repent of that statement.
I just still
think
that's hilarious because you had already given up on them.
Yes.
After,
absolutely,
like, the second win for the Dodgers.
Yes. They blew a 3-1 lead to the Marlins in 03. I could, you know, if that's not safe, being down 2-1 sure as heck isn't safe. So, yes, I had every right.
I mean, the thing about it, though, is, like, even though, I mean, obviously they were behind in the series.
Yeah.
But they still had a lot of time. And
yeah, but
you also were going against the weaker pitchers then.
Being up 3-1 gives you a lot of time, too, but apparently not.
Well, I mean, they came back from a 3-1 deficit, so.
That is true. So I.
So maybe you should just calm your jets a little bit in the future.
Nah. It's more fun. But so the Miami Marlins up for sale. Owner Jeff Loria wants to sell the team. He's been the owner since the early 2000s. Not very well liked in Miami. So this will be interesting to see who wants to buy the Marlins. After they won the World Series in 03, which they did by beating the New York Yankees kind of at the end of their run, completely dismantled the team, which he's done that several times to the Marlins. They get a promising team, and then he just kind of sells them off. And not only that, but he had the public pay for the new Marlins stadium, which apparently, according to the mayor of Miami, isn't supposed to be paid off until the 2040s. So kind of dug himself into a hole there. And obviously, the Marlins are kind of one of the bottom franchises in revenue. And they've kind of got a weird TV deal that isn't fantastic. So this has not been an A-plus ownership tenure by Mr. Loria for
the Marlins. See, that's the thing that, like, just, I don't know, drives me nuts. Yeah. When you have owners that don't actually care if their team wins, like, like, if your team's successful, why would you break it up?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess if you do that, whatever. But at the same time, I also hate when you have these very wealthy teams forcing cities to pay for their stadiums that almost exclusively will be used by the team.
Yeah. I mean, granted,
that makes
it's a nice,
no sense. It's a private enterprise.
Yeah.
Why in the world is it okay for them to demand that, you know, the cities pay for it?
Well, even if they did pay for it, like, it's not going to be paid off for decades, even at that. So
yeah.
Even if you could have a reasonable deal with a city and vote on it, this surely was not it. And so it's just poor revenue.
I am it, and don't call me Shirley. But, we're stupid.
Yeah, and the only time they've even made the postseason and the World Series both times was when they were a wild card team. It's not like they've ever really been in the hunt for the NL East. So this is a team that really, I can't think of any diehard Marlins fans, to be honest with you.
Well, we're also not over in Miami, so.
Yeah, but still.
So I would assume there's probably some over there.
I'm not super impressed when they are on TV and you see just rows and sections empty. I don't know. It's just been a poorly run team, and I don't know why he's asking for over $1 billion for it. I don't think the team is worth $1 billion, to be honest.
Well, the team is worth as much as someone's willing to pay for it.
Which I don't know if someone's probably willing to pay for it because.
Not everyone. I mean, lots of people
want to
get into it.
Every millionaire wants to own a. Maybe someone.
I mean, like, if I had that money, I would totally buy a franchise.
Yeah,
if the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah.
And I would actually care about, you know, how things were going.
Or an actual sports fan. And
yeah.
Would know.
Right,
you know,
from wrong.
Somewhat what we're doing, you know. So. Yeah, so Marlins up for sale. I don't know. I didn't like them even when they switched from their old teal and black uniform scheme to this orange and neon thing everybody's into these days because it looks like an aquarium logo, to be honest with you.
Yeah, everyone just wants to copy the Broncos, the orange and blue. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Go Broncos.
Yeah, but.
No, I mean, so like the Broncos brought back their orange jerseys. And then the Dolphins decided to start using an orange jersey as an alternate. And also the Marlins decided they were going to use one.
Yeah.
And, like, the The Texans have one that's red, but it's almost orange.
It might as well be orange.
It might as well be. No,
I think the Bears tried an orange jersey, but it was...
Bears have one to do that, like an alternate jersey.
Yeah, but nobody likes that.
No, I mean, it's the Navy, it's a Broncos thing.
Well, yeah. And
I'm so glad that the Broncos are now back to orange, because it's actually a nice orange color. And on top of that, there's less people that confuse, you know, the orange of Denver, the Denver Broncos, to the Boise State Broncos, who were copying the Denver Broncos in colors, but they still have the blue.
Yeah.
And the orange is just like their secondary color.
At least Denver has never lowered itself to painting its field blue, so.
Yeah.
They've got that.
Now, can you imagine if they painted it orange for one game? It'd be ridiculous.
It'd be freaky to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to. I don't want an orange field like permanently, but I think it'd be sweet if they did that for like one game.
Trippy, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
kind of interesting.
I mean, because like the blue stadium, the blue turf in Boise is kind of annoying. There's also the red turf in Eastern Washington at their university.
They have...
Yeah, those are the only ones I know of that are colored. But I don't know. I think it'd be fun.
That'd be interesting to see. I think from a be kind of weird from watching it on TV, like, kind of.
Yeah.
Whoa, what are we looking at?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like only for like one game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like have one game a year that they will do that, and that'll be it. Because, and what they should do is do it like before like a 3-game road trip or like 2-game road trip with like a bye week or something.
Give it time to wash it off the field when they're done with the game.
Yeah, I mean, well, and if they have to replace the sod, so it's time to, like, dig in. I mean, because we all know what happens when you just replace the sod and play a game on it right afterwards, and then it's raining, and
delicious.
Then and then the ball just sticks in the ground.
Football at its
finest. You remember that, right?
Yeah,
with the Steelers? That was just insane. Like, it just, thunk, stuck.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, probably the only time in history that a ball has literally not bounced after it hit the ground on a punt. Probably the only time in history. But yeah, so there's that. I got a wall of shame entry.
Oh yeah, and I should retroactively put Jeff Lurie in my wall of shame for
being a crappy owner.
Yeah, so, but what's yours?
Mine would be Draymond Green is at it again.
Really?
Last night, the Clippers were playing the Warriors, and there was a loose ball, and Blake Griffin was trying to grab it, and Draymond Green and some other guy, I didn't see who it was, they were fighting for the ball on the ground, and Blake Griffin was standing up and was trying to grab it. And Draymond Green full-on tried kicking him. Like, he kicked his leg up, and there's no legitimate reason you can think of why he would kick his leg up in that situation other than he was trying to kick Blake Griffin. Now, he didn't connect, so that was good. But come on, dude.
What's tripping
his problem?
These days? What's with using the legs these days?
It's Draymond Green's patented move.
Yeah, and...
And we'll see how well that will work in our fantasy fight at the end of this podcast. Because he's going to be in it. We'll tell you the other side in a little bit.
But of course, Green was trying to motivate Blake Griffin. He's trying to motivate him. Or at least that's his excuse.
Sure, sure.
Because he's trying to motivate...
Yeah, whatever,
dude. Tried to motivate.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What else you got?
Other wall of shame, another baseball-related one. I'd like to put in Commissioner Manfred of Major League Baseball for his, what I think, ridiculous rule changes he keeps wanting to do. The intentional walk rule change apparently has been approved by the players' union, and I don't know if it was the ownership group or... There's like two different groups that have to approve rules. But apparently the intentional walk changes have been approved.
And what changes would those be?
Yeah, so it's going from instead of having to throw four balls, it would just be a signal from the manager. So the pitcher wouldn't actually have to throw anything.
They should just do it like on...
Which it doesn't even save time.
MLB 2K, where you just like throw it once way outside and it's like, okay, we know what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so he, you know, Manfred keeps saying he wants this to be something to save time, but maybe it'll save a minute of time per walk.
Yeah,
but even then, the number
but even
of
at
intentional
that, there's
walks,
not that many intentional walks.
Yeah, it's not happening anymore. Probably because I think pitching's gotten better
yeah.
in a lot of ways. But I don't know. I think if you're going to choose to not really throw to somebody, you should have to just throw the pitches and up your count. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think so. But honestly, I feel like they should do away with intentional walks because I think that's stupid. Like, do away with intentional walks because, you know, when you're doing it, like, you take the time and you, like, throw the balls out. Like, you keep throwing the ball, throw the ball. Yeah, it takes up time. But also on top of that, how cowardly is that?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess in some situations they're trying to set it up so they can do a double play. But come on, just play. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's stupid.
Yeah, because even the best hitters, maybe 30% of the time they get a hit. You know, so it's not like...
Maybe.
Yeah, it's not like...
Some of like the really good hitters only get like 25% of the time.
So, yeah. It's only ever to set up a double play, and even then...
I don't know. I think it's dumb, and they should take it away because... Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you should just have to deal with the situation you're in. Don't do the intentional walk. I don't know.
Yeah, so other rule changes that he wants to bring in: a pitch clock in between.
What does that mean?
You only have a certain amount of time in between every, as a pitcher, you have a certain amount of time to throw the next ball.
I'm not opposed to that.
Really?
Yeah, because it'll speed up the game a little bit, and you can't just take forever and then do the whole stupid thing where you keep throwing it to first.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like, if there's a thing where you have to, like, get a pitch off every, like, 30 seconds instead of, I don't know what, like, an average pitch would be, but, like, a specific time, like, and then you have to kind of stay under it, I think that'd be good because it'll speed up the game, and also you won't have this stupid, like, oh, I'm just going to take forever before I actually throw it, and, oh, I'm going to throw it right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'd be good. Yeah. I'm not opposed to that. What is your thoughts on it since you brought it up?
I'm just not really excited about it.
No?
Why not? I mean, it's used in, I think it's used in some minor league and then youth baseball leagues, but I don't know, it's just not something I'm excited about. I'm more annoyed by the intentional walk changes than I am.
So much so that you posted on Facebook about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
it's real when Evan starts posting on Facebook about it.
Yes, you know I'm mulling it over in my mind greatly.
I don't know that it's mulling. I think you already had decided at that point.
Yeah, which Ellen, I don't think I'll be retracting that statement though. I shared today.
Trade them all, pack of frauds.
Yeah, I'll say I definitely miscalculated that one. But
and I told you when afterwards that you had, I was like. This series is far from over.
It's
you've got a lot of good hitters.
Yeah.
Once they start going,
Cubs it's teams be tough. In the past though, it would have been over. It would have been over.
It varies team to team, but you had a good team. So.
Well, now we do, but like for the longest time. Yeah.
I mean, we don't know about this year.
I think they'll be good this year.
You sure?
Oh yeah.
I believe the deal that they made with the devil is actually expired now.
That's when we go to some other pagan god for us to deal with.
Pagan god. So, you're awful.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think that it's too many of these rule changes all at once. And I just don't think it's really necessary. I'm not into it.
Traditional baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Traditional baseball.
Pure, beautiful art that is baseball.
Steroids and stuff.
See, I'm not so worked up about steroids, but
Evan doesn't have a problem when it comes to steroids.
But yeah,
okay. So since we broached the subject,
sure,
about steroids. So yeah. you don't really care as much about steroids. I'm gonna submit something to you, an idea.
Okay.
How, I don't know. Are you opposed to the idea that it doesn't matter if people use steroids? Like, I mean,
I don't know about if it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm just saying, like, should they just be like, yeah, whatever, you guys can do it if you want to? Because, I mean, it's not like these guys are... If
we're the case of, say, like... It's not like the late 90s. The problem isn't...
Yeah, but no, what I'm saying is, so, So with steroids and performance-enhancing drugs, with say, fighters, obviously no-go because you could kill someone. That with baseball, there's not contact except for the occasional, you know, catcher runner thing. And I don't even know if that's legal anymore, that the catcher just, like,
I think they changed
gets plowed over.
Yeah, that's different now.
Yeah. Anyway.
Some rule to protect.
Okay, so there's not going to be contact. I mean, who care? I mean, do you care? Do you say, like, hey, whatever. If you guys want to use steroids, go for it. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd be so live and let live on that. Only because it's like we saw.
What about live and, like, let die?
Live and let die. Oh, I'm all in favor of live and let die. No, but it's like you had that string of where the single season home run record kept getting broken in, like, a span of a few years.
Dude, just every time I play in MLB 2K.
It was like.
Because.
I think that's.
Because I swear to you, I hit like 150 or 160 home runs in a year season. I mean, I had like 300 RBIs as well or something.
That was lowest level on sports games.
Yeah. No, I have been meaning to like make it a little bit more difficult to get home runs, so I just get lots of hits. But.
Just go for the dead ball era. All hits, no home runs, and games like all in the single digits. Dead ball.
But, no, I would steal my way home. I do it all the time.
Everybody that makes it to third has to steal.
No, you make it to first.
You steal home.
not initially all the time. I mean, sometimes you can, but most of the time you're on first. This is what I do all the time. If I only hit a single, I'll because the game is set up that it's easy to do this.
Yeah.
I'll steal second, and then I'll steal third, and then I'll steal home. Occasionally, if you do it right, you can steal all the way to home on one attempt. Now, I mean, no, it's not like you just run full speed. What I always do is I will, like, act like I'm running to steal second, and the pitcher turns and throws it to second, and then I start running back to first, and the second baseman starts throwing it to first base, and I immediately go back, and I get back there before they get the ball back to second.
Nice.
So sometimes, like, I'll keep running to third, and so then I'll throw it to the third baseman, and then I start running back to second, and then they'll turn and throw it, and I'll run back to third. And if I have time, I'll just head for home, and then they'll throw it to the catcher, and then I turn around and go back, and he throws it, and then I go to get the run. It's fun.
And totally realistic.
Completely realistic.
Those video games, they're something else.
Nah, I mean, if I want it to be realistic, I would play it on an harder difficulty, and I would make the computer more intelligent.
But nobody plays those games for real.
Why would you?
But
I mean, unless you're super competitive with, like, video games, why would you? Yeah. Why would you ever play a game where you're playing against a computer that you would lose? That's not fun.
No. But,
I mean, I don't know. That's just my perspective. I understand when people actually want to be challenged and stuff. But me, I'm just like, I just want to have fun.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's why on NBA 2K, I play on the lowest difficulty. So I'm getting like 60, 70 points a game and averaging a quadruple-double. Because if I'm not being as successful as I want to be, like, I just get ticked off and it defeats the purpose of me playing in the first place.
Cancel.
Because I just want to have fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a tangent.
But yeah, but like steroid use. Problem is, you got guys like Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds who were already good before all that stuff came out. And so it's just kind of, I don't know. I just think it's kind of, why would you? I mean, after the strike in 94 to get people back in the seats, I think it was good to have a home run contest, but I think it's terrible that it was almost all fueled by steroid use. So I don't know. The problem is the Major League Baseball didn't enforce.
My name's Hannah.
The discipline.
And I play baseball. Oh, gosh. No, have you seen Dodgeball?
Yeah.
And you have, they lose to this Girl Scout team. I love it. And then the Girl Scout team gets disqualified because one of their players had the drug test come back and say that he had three different counts of anabolic steroids in a beaver tranquilizer. Like,
I love dodgeball.
I mean, there's like some stuff I'm just like, how do you come up with that?
Dodge. I love that movie.
So funny. That's
one of the funnier
that's our
movies.
That's our suggestion to you this week.
Yeah. Watch Dodgeball.
If you haven't seen Dodgeball, you should probably watch it because it's pretty ridiculous and funny.
ESPN 8, the Ocho. With Cotton and whoever the other
F and A, Cotton, F and A.
But, I don't know. Major League Baseball didn't even really enforce that ban for a while because it was like 10-day suspensions for the longest time if you were caught with steroids. So they didn't do their own due diligence early on to stop it anyway.
When you said caught with steroids, I just pictured like finding them in the locker room with steroids in it, like a syringe, like in their hand.
Dang it, no!
This is awkward. It's 10 games, buddy.
Well.
Dang it!
So, yeah.
No, I mean, in all reality, I don't think that they should use steroids in professional sports
because it kind of takes away from it.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the side effects are terrible. But on top of that, I mean, it also, you know, the purpose of sports is to show how like good you are off of your hard work, yeah. Not off of something that you injected in your body.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just like natural talent and stuff and natural work.
Which, you know, the unfortunate thing is a lot of those guys had plenty of natural talent.
Yeah.
Like Roger Clemens. 20 strikeout game long before steroids were a thing. And Barry Bonds was still really good even before that. But yeah, so MLB stuff.
You got anything else?
One more thing.
All right.
This is college basketball.
Okay.
From the University of Maine.
So ooh. Home
of the Black Bears. Five University of Maine basketball players were suspended after a fight in their locker room over music being played that they didn't like. And one of the casualties was a broken jaw. So five players, including their
classic,
including their top scorer. So
that's pretty stupid.
Over music.
Pretty honestly. Stupid, I would have to say. Pretty stupid.
Yeah. So that's a wall of shame. Not too much to go into, sadly, with that. It's pretty simple.
Well, I mean, I know some people are excited to see what happens when our women take on UNLV next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Because last time the two teams met up, there was a bit of a brawl on the floor.
Which was awesome.
On the literal floor. They were on the ground.
Of course, I'm sure ESPN, with its one-sided reporting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the dumbest thing about that whole thing. Is
they didn't
like,
ask anybody from
legit, no questions.
From USU.
Like, no, yeah. Nothing came from the USU side in that report.
Yeah, it was a UNLV
like,
player.
Are you serious? And a coach.
And I think. A coach.
It's like, seriously? I mean.
So, of course, they're going to give what they think started it. And, of course, Their player looks great in their version of the story.
Like, oh, yeah, she just bumped me. It's like, no, you watched the video, you bumped her.
Yeah.
And not that I think that it was worth. You know, getting in a fight over, but still, you're not innocent.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I think there's guilt on both sides, but you would sure weren't innocent.
We're definitely going to go to that
definitely game. Definitely going to go there. Yeah.
And I promise to be in the gold.
We'll be in the silver and gold. Look for us. Yeah. But yeah, so.
Yeah, that's everything.
That's that for that. So now, let the fun begin.
It's time for Fantasy Fights!
All right, welcome into Fantasy Fights. As I mentioned earlier, we've already given you one of the fighters in this week's edition of the Fantasy Fight, and that would be Draymond Green, the master of kicks.
He's that Pokemon that, not the Hitmonchan, but the one... The one that he evolves from, and he's the
Hitmonlee.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're not. They're
or
separate.
They're
separate.
Okay.
I mean, well. They both come from the same dude, but they're also there's not one's the evolution of the other one.
Interesting.
Yeah, they both are evolved from Tyrogue, but yeah, no.
It's been a while since.
No, when I was saying the master of kicks, I thought of a couple different things. So you've got the kicks are, or the tricks are for kids. And then there was like this joke that you had these trids and this rabbi dude would kick them. And he said, kicks are for trids. So there's that. And then also at the same time, I thought about Dayman. If you've ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, he's the master of karate and friendship for everyone. Dayman, fighter of the night, man. Champion of the sun. The master of karate and friendship for everyone. Dayman. No, just kidding. But good. Yeah, so I thought of that. So I just think he's the master of karate. So apparently Draymond Green is Dayman. So little known fact. And today, Draymond Green, which I guess we'll do it a little bit more official-like and tell you his measurements, because that is the appropriate thing to do in a fight situation. So Draymond Green, as everybody knows, is a small forward on the – well, I guess he's a power forward, actually, no. Yeah, he's a power forward for the – I almost said Washington Warriors. That would have been weird. The Golden State Warriors. He is 6'7" and 230 pounds. So fairly big dude. I weigh 100 pounds more than him. Not that that's a good thing.
But just saying.
Just saying. I could throw my weight on him. Of course, he'd probably kick me, but that's just how he rolls. So we got Draymond Green on one side, 6'7", 230 pounds. And in the other corner,
Rob Gronkowski at 6'6", and 265 pounds.
So a little bit shorter, a lot bigger.
Yeah.
You know, 35 pounds more, which doesn't surprise me at all, because it's the difference with how you do muscle between a basketball player and a football player. And so I'm not surprised by that at all. No. So our fight.
Yeah.
We got Draymond Green and Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
And if you are a regular human being, you will not be rooting for either one of these guys.
No, we want a mutual destruction. Yet it has to be done very carefully.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just like kind of go through, give some pros for each player, and kind of come up with our end result. So start out. Obviously, we talked about this. Draymond Green, exceptionally good at kicking.
It is impressive.
And he's very good at groin shots. Yeah. And don't think he won't do it, because he does it a lot.
It's to motivate you.
To motivate you. Yeah, that makes sense. To motivate you. How is that motivating? How is that motivating? You just have to disregard some of the stuff Evan says. But anyway, he's good at karate. He can jump pretty well. So maybe do a jump kick. That'd be pretty lethal. Maybe do a roundhouse kick. I mean, we haven't seen him do one of those. But I know for a fact that Dayman is capable of doing those.
Yeah, so you never know. You never know. It's like that final fight in Karate Kid, or does that totally
does the
illegal move, kick to the face.
And people try to pretend that Ralph Macchio is the hero of the story.
Yeah, that poor guy from Cobra Gym is the real
he's the nice victim guy. Here
he played by the rules,
sort of
but well, for that purpose played by the rules.
He was definitely not a beneficiary of the rule forgetfulness of the referee in that situation.
Yeah.
That's beside the point. Anyway, yeah. Back on track. Draymond Green, jump kicks. I would say that's a definite positive for him.
Expertise.
He's also quick. You know, as a basketball player, he's got good side-to-side motion, and he's fairly fast. He's solid guy all around. He's quick, fast. He's got a lot of speed. It should be.
But I'm sensing it's
good for him.
It's leg heavy on this, on his
fight. On his stretch. Repertoire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that. And on the other side, you look at Rob Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. This dude spikes the football like nobody's business, which seems to me like, I mean, I've seen some footballs explode when they hit the ground, when he's throwing it at the ground. So that,
so if he,
that
So if he can get you up and spike a human.
Imagine the destruction.
That would hurt.
But no, I mean, what I was going to go with that is he's obviously got arm strength.
Yes, that is true.
He's got arm strength. And so he's going to, I feel like he's going to be more of a top heavy. It's almost going to be Hitmonlee versus Hitmonchan, where you got all kicks from Draymond Green and all punches from Rob Gronkowski. But you know for a fact that Rob Gronkowski is not going to play fair.
No.
Neither one of these guys are.
Yeah. Rob Gronkowski, though, I will give him creativity points for shenanigans. And you know
he's got some good shenanigans, that's for sure.
There's no way he's not going to bring Gronk's classic shenanigans to this fight.
Seriously. I mean, just one thing, though. I mean, I was watching Family Guy. This is an episode a few weeks ago or something. It wasn't that long ago. Rob Gronkowski moved into the neighborhood. And apparently, the Gronkowskis are deathly afraid of bees. So they, like, moved out when there's some bees, like, there. They're like, oh, no, there's bees. And they all moved out. Spoiler alert. So if Draymond Green has been able to find out about that, that gives him a huge advantage. I mean, he can put bees in his shoes as he's kicking Rob Gronkowski.
True. And another negative, another con, I should say, on the pro and con for Gronkowski, he's coming off a few back surgeries.
Yeah,
I
that's
can't imagine
true.
That's going to be great for his flexibility or his movement or just his general fighting performance in this week's matchup.
Yeah, that is true. And, I mean, again, he's recovering, and they don't expect him to be able to play football for a while. But you know he's going to be partying, so.
Yeah, if you're healthy enough to party, you might still be good for fights, depending on how, you know, just
I think
plastered
just,
he gets at the party.
Yeah. And, I mean, maybe he'll be better at fighting if he's plastered, because he spends more time than not plastered. So we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it could work to his benefit.
How much help, though, will he be getting from Belichick, who was one of our contestants last week? Because, you know, if you can get some espionage.
Well, it wasn't last week, but last
or
time.
Or last matchup.
But, and he actually won, didn't he?
I believe so.
I'm pretty sure we said he won.
So,
but
and I'm trying to remember if there was any espionage or. Because obviously there was cheating of some form, probably, but.
Yeah, I mean,
wonder how much he'll get from him, though, too.
you don't know, you know? You don't know. Well, I don't know, though, because Coach Belichick proved that they could win Super Bowl without Gronk. So maybe he's just like, you know, Gronk, you got to prove to me that you can do something without me.
Ooh.
So, I mean, let's just say that Belichick's not even on the table for assistance.
Yeah, well, you know, someone might, though, do one of those, instead of a kick me sign on the back of Draymond Green, it's a little picture of Roger Goodell. Just like, hey there, buddy, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
It's on his back. That's going to be a motivator for any Patriot.
I mean, it would be. I mean, unless they've settled their feud, I don't know. Maybe they're cool with each other now.
Even if they have, I don't think anybody's told Gronk that.
But probably. But at the same time, I do believe that I also see someone else putting another sign on his back that says, spike me.
Ooh, yeah.
So, you know Gronk likes to spike things.
I am a football.
Whether it be punch or a football, he likes spiking things.
I am a punch-filled football.
Well, then he would probably like He'd try to take a bite out of him to open up to get the juice and then
he gets the juice
drink a bunch of blood. I don't know. Probably should. Stay away from
classic Gronk.
Stay away from that one.
Classic Gronk. What will he do next?
Dang. So I mean, there's gonna be some viciousness in this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I dislike both sides pretty evenly.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that Gronkowski, he brings some of the shenanigans. And the spiking ability. I don't know. I think Draymond Green's got to bring something more than just his classic kicking moves. There's got to be something, that extra factor going on.
I'm going to go out here and say that, you know, at the get-go, Draymond Green is going to be taking it to Gronk. You know, he's going to be getting a pretty clear advantage. And then in the second half of the fight, Gronk's just going to come back the Patriot way.
The Patriot way. Down 28-3.
Gonna put on a helmet and some shoulder pads. Because, again, this is prison rules. Yeah. Whatever you want. And I say that he comes back
from prison rules
and wins.
Yeah.
Right before the final bell, or right at the final bell, he drops him.
So another solid performance choked by someone on the Warriors. So it has not been a great year.
You know for sure this is going to happen now because the Warriors are so good at dropping leads and the Patriots are good at coming back from deficits. So it's pretty much set in stone that that's what would happen.
Yeah, I think Gronkowski would win this, although I would say one perfectly placed kick to the crotch area. That's enough to take any man down. It's just a fact of biology.
Well, so, you got to believe that Gronk wears a cup.
If he remembers, that's the thing. No. He remembers.
You know he's got to wear it because he's always trying to get laid. He doesn't ever want to have any contact that might ruin his chances of just producing as many little Gronks as possible.
That's
just
true.
As much as humanly possible.
He may cherish the Gronk jewels very highly.
Oh, I would believe that he would.
Their own.
I was gonna say I don't necessarily cherish the Gronk jewels, but sure, dude, whatever.
Weird confessions.
Awkward.
Yeah, I think you're right on the winner for this week.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. If you want to give us ideas for future fantasy fights, hit us up on Twitter at USU Bullpen. You can also share your thoughts, stuff you want us to talk about, anything like that. Also, check out my Twitter at EthanChadwick15 and Evan at EvanHall62. We will be changing his Twitter handle so that no one can actually find him.
Every week. New handle.
No, not really. It'll be there. But thanks again for listening. Have a good one.
This has been another edition of the Bullpen Podcast on Aggie Radio.
Catch us on aggieradio.com and on Twitter at USU Bullpen.